Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Clues? You know who's one of my favorite Dark Lords?
I think I do, but go ahead and tell me.
Dark Lord Vanderpump, you idiot.
I thought you were going to say that. No, I thought you were going to say it. I was right.
You predicted it. Another accurate Clues prediction.
Yes.
Lisa Vanderpump is one of my favorite Dark Lords, and she is part of a new show called Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, which premieres on Hulu.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
Hulu has Vanderpump.
I think that Dark Lord Vanderpump has only improved upon her previous work, and she knows how to concoct excellent TV series.
Yes.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside. Ooh la la.
I can't wait to watch it. You can meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Everything that you expect from Vanderpump as they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests. The staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Guess what? Not everybody has what it takes. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Praise be Dark Lord Vanderpump.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and it's Monday. So you know what this is going to be. It's going to be a crucial, imperative, absolutely necessary deep dive into something that is extremely important in our beloved nation. Now, in the last 2 weeks, several podcasts have come out that have exposed an incredible amount of behind-the-scenes information. And we are going to be deep diving into three of those podcasts in this episode, something we have never done on a Digging Deeper.
What a gift.
It is a gift. It was a gift to us to hear all of the stuff that was said in these podcasts, and we can't wait to break them down for you. So here's what we got on deck. We've got five clips from Kelly Flanagan's appearance on Chicks in the Office, in which she talked a lot about her relationship with Pilot Pete, and we are not going to really cover that. What these clips are about is how the producers worked that season, how she was affected by the structure of the game and what was happening. Then we got one clip from Chatty Broads, in which Becca Martinez reads a piece of her contract from Bachelor in Paradise. Fascinating. And then we got six clips from the first episode of Jason Tardik's new show, Trading Secrets. He had Deanie Babies on to discuss literally how much money they make from SpawnCon, how much money they were offered to go on Bachelor in Paradise, to be The Bachelor, all kinds of crazy shit. And I mean, I just couldn't believe the degree to which they let us behind the curtain in that podcast.
Absolutely not. It was jammed full of information. Definitely not what you expect from someone's first podcast episode. Often people's first podcast episode, they're like, oh, so here's the vibe. I think we're gonna try to talk about a lot of things. That's it.
Tardik is excellent. He's one of the best first time podcasters I've ever heard. He's got things written.
Yes.
There is a definite structure. He has great questions. Like, that dude is prepared. He is not fucking around. This podcast means business.
No.
But we will.
He's learned from the best.
Okay. I would argue the best podcaster is actually Nick Viall.
The greatest.
Because he has a podcast network at this point, which Caitlin Bristow does not. I'm just going to leave that out
there. Anyone can have a network.
What? Okay. Tell me how to get one. I want one.
If I learned anything from Tardik and DD Babies, I can do anything.
All right. Fair enough.
Get some Bitcoin.
But we're going to jump into it. This is...
Digging Deeper.
So, for those of you who have heard of Digging Deeper, you know how it works. For those of you who haven't, this is how it works. We play a clip, and then we come out and we discuss it. And as I said, we got three podcasts to get through. So, these first few clips are going to be from Kelly Flanagan on Chicks in the Office. Are you ready, Pace Case, for that first clip?
I'm ready.
Now, were you on when you were on the show? Did you get the vibe that Peter really liked you, but was trying to just follow through with the show and what they would expect, or were you kind of it was kind of just up in the air?
No, I definitely knew that him and I like had a connection right from the start, even when we met before. You know, I just like knew going into the show, which. Was in my favor. I'm sure people didn't like it, but like I knew I had a connection with this guy and I was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna do this show. I already had like some reassurance there to be like, you know, I know him and I vibe on this, like this is great. Yeah. Like I was sitting pretty, but I knew the girls weren't gonna like that, so I was like, oh man, like this is a tough position to be in. Like I know I get along with this guy and he seems really cool, and I was like, but I'm going into a situation that's not ideal for the girls. So as time went, like him and I had a blast, you know, the first group date. Him and I flew off on the plane and we had a blast. And then like later that night, we went back to the hotel. Him and I met, you know, production brought us there again, had a blast. Like we were having so much fun every time we saw each other. But then there was a point in time where I just stopped seeing him.
Right.
And I would ask, I'd be like, can I see him? And, you know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in terms of like who gets to see him when and all that stuff. And I just wasn't necessarily getting the green light to be able to see him. And it's like, how do you connect with someone if you're not seeing them?
Yeah.
It's like, great, I saw you a couple weeks ago, but now you're going to go and establish other connections with other girls. Like, you know, I'm kind of dropping off here if I don't see you. So that's kind of in my mindset how it was going.
First of all, I love to remember this group date that Kelly was on with as the obstacle course. It's one of my favorite group dates ever. You have all
straightforward cheating to win. It was beautiful. It was like the only game that matters is getting time. It's a game of time. We know this. And Kelly Flanagan just was like, fuck it. I'm getting that time. I don't care about the cones.
If you guys don't remember, this is the group date obstacle course that was plane themed, and the women had to like run into like wind being directly blasted in their faces while Pee-Pee's like screaming encouragement at them. They had to change into like flight attendant outfits, I believe, in like porta potties. It was just amazing. And then Kelly cheats basically at the last leg of this obstacle course against Tammy Lai to win the play for time, and it was extraordinary. One of the best plays that season.
Totally. It was revolutionary. The thing that was, in my mind, maybe the most important aspect of it was that everyone knew she cheated. Pilot Pete knew she cheated. Tammy knew she cheated. She knew she fucking cheated. And no one cared. It was just like, yeah, and I'm going in the plane now. Even the producers didn't uphold like the sanctity of the game they had created on this group date. They were like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. And so it really laid bare the fact that the only thing that matters is do anything you can to win a play for time group date. The rules of whatever that little mini game is don't even fucking matter. It was beautiful. God damn it.
I mean, this is one of the most high stakes play for times you can get, because it's not even just like half of the group gets to continue. Right. It's one person gets to go in Pee-Pee's plane.
But that aside, I agree with you. Good. When I heard this piece of it, I was just like back in memory lane rewatching that whole fucking group date. But the thing that I thought was interesting about this clip specifically is she talks very openly here about how the producer sabotaged that relationship. She says, I went on the group date. I had this great connection. Mm-hmm. I got to go up in the plane with him. And then I just never saw him again. That's not by his choice. The producers have done that. And so whoever the producers had in mind to make a deep run in the game, it wasn't her. And they just refused to let her see him. He can be like, oh, I want a one-on-one date with this person or this person. They don't give a shit. They set all of that up.
I can see a motivation for the producers to not want her to go far because she had met him beforehand. And they, for the sanctity of the game, it's more for TRR if they can have someone who just meets him on their show. I'm wondering, did Kelly try to arrange knock-knocks here? Is that what she's referencing in terms of trying to get time with him?
I don't know. We'll never know. But this was a little hint at it. And you can tell she's a little guarded in the way she's talking about it. She's not like saying the producers were pieces of shit, but that is what is inferred here. The producers did not let her see this man. They orchestrated the demise of that relationship. Are you ready, Pace Case, for clip number two from Kelly Flanagan on Chicks in the Office?
Good day, Sheila. That means I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
I'm curious, like, when you watched it back, you know, when you're watching it, it's live, mm-hmm. and you were sent home, and the conversation, like, kind of shifted. Like, everybody was like, oh, my God, we love Kelly, we love Kelly, we love Kelly. And then they kind of made it seem like you were a little bit of a jerk when you were leaving. Like, yeah. That you kind of, like, they're like, wait, she seems super cocky. Where did this come from? We didn't see this side of her. When you watched that back, how are you feeling? Yeah, and did you feel like, ooh, like, maybe that wasn't, like,
was
that
shocked.
Really what happened?
Come on. Like, it just doesn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was shocked to see that, you know, the producers call you and they tell you if you're going to have, like, a tough week in terms of what's airing. And I remember some of the things they were telling me, and I was like, excuse me? What? And they're like, yeah, you said that. And I was like, did I say it in that order or what?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, things could be misconstrued there, which I think that was big one. But... yeah, that was a weird one to watch back. So I was like, okay, where am I saying that? Like, where am I actually saying that? But hey, it's a show; they got to do what they have to do,
yep,
and you can't like hold a grudge on it.
Yeah.
We've heard other players talk about producers giving you that call. When your episode's going to air, when you're a big piece of the story, they give you this call saying, like, tonight's going to be rough for you, or it's going to be good for you, or whatever, especially if they've done you dirty. And what she's talking about here, she never goes into specifics about when she's saying, did I really say that? She never gets into what that exactly means. I believe what she's talking about is on the episode where she has the 3-on-1 date and she gets kicked off. They Frankenbited a piece of audio for her, essentially shitting on the other two players that were on that 3-on-1, who were
Hannah Sluss
and Victoria Fuller.
She says something about them maybe not having jobs, right?
It's something to that effect, like, I'm a lawyer, what are they? It's something to that effect, but she never said that. They cut together shit from ITMs, other pieces of footage they had to manufacture this villain edit for her that never happened. And here she's giving us a small glimpse into the night when the producers are like, hey, we're going to completely fuck you over tomorrow. Get ready. And she's like, wait a minute. I didn't say that shit. That is fascinating to me that the producers try to justify their shit.
That job is fascinating to me. Like, to call them and be like, yeah, this one's going to be a real doozy. You said fuck these other fuckers up. You're like, wait, what? These fucking lowlifes with no jobs.
But she even in this clip comes out and is like, well, whatever. They got to make a TV show. You can't hold a grudge. It's like, what the fuck? How deep that goes for all these players, the kind of Sluicean protocol of it. We knew what we signed up for. And part of that is, as we'll get to with the Chatty Broads and Becca Martinez talking about her contract, but they do literally sign up for the producers to be able to do this, to take any footage they have of these people, recut it in any way they want, to portray them in any light they want. And then, though, this phone call, like, what is the purpose of that phone call from the producers?
I think it's so you don't go off on social media like that Listen to Your Heart guy was threatening to do.
But, I mean, they just bury people with the threat of lawsuit. They don't need to give them this call. Does that really help? Is that just so that they can unburden their own consciences from this? Like, why give that phone call? It's so fucking strange.
They must be determining that that is helpful. And I feel like it is this, like, element of control. They're like, we still control you even though you're not on the show anymore. Still be a company man kind of thing. It's manipulative as fuck.
One final gaslighting.
Yeah, exactly. Gaslighting.
Totally. Well, to tell her, you said these things, and she's like, well, wait a minute, though. In what order?
In what order?
I mean, that's crazy. That, to me, is like potentially one of the most sinister things that producers do, is to be like, but you were this person. You did do that thing. You did say this. And it's like, you know, as a producer, you literally were in the fucking editing room as they constructed it out of nothing. And then you're telling this person that they said it. That is some true 1984 shit.
I already had people message us about our player breakdown, and they were like, oh, the promo where Carl, or maybe it was about Twibin, the promo where Carl is saying, I'm just here to get followers. They're like, that's spliced together. I'm like, I didn't even notice that. Maybe it is.
I didn't either. This season, I'll tell you what, I try to scrutinize every season as we watch it, specifically for Frankenbiting and things, audio played on the back of people's heads and shit like that. This season, I'm going to get deep into that.
Ooh.
I'm going to really focus on that shit.
Yeah, I don't
alone.
Think you've been getting deep enough into this stuff. I think it's like, Clues, really throw yourself into the game, you know? Give it your all.
Look.
Your surface level analysis of this stuff, it like won't do anymore.
There are many elements of our beloved game, and I can go deeper into some of them. I'm aware of that, and I'm working on it. Thank you very much. Are you ready for the next clip from Kelly Flanagan on Chicks in the Office?
I knew what I signed up for.
Why were you at the finale? Because I remember that everyone was so fucking confused during this finale. Yeah. Because first of all, you got Pete getting engaged to Hannah Ann, and then you got Madison on stage, and Barb's involved, and then in the middle of all of this, they go,
Barb is like, I love Kelly.
Yeah, and Barb's like, I love Kelly. And they're like, and we have a special guest in the audience, Kelly Flanagan's here, and then we didn't see you again for the rest of the night. Why were you there?
To be honest.
And you weren't at the Woman Tell All.
I was not invited to Woman Tell All. Yeah, and I don't necessarily know. I think a lot of me, I was like close with the girls and I would try to diffuse a lot of the situations, and you can't have that on a show. So, you know, when some of my girlfriends would be like, oh my God, I'm so pissed off, I'd be like, don't worry about it, it's okay. And you can't have that, which, you know, like to me, I just have to let people be themselves. But I don't know, there's a part in me to be like, no, like go figure it out.
Not invited to the Women Tell All.
There was a bunch of information in this clip. That is one piece of it. The producers call her up and they say, we fucked you over. Get ready for this bad episode. Then you don't even get to come on Women Tell All. And that's not just a slight to her. That fucks with her money. Women Tell All is where you can, it's your last chance really to boost your social media image, to potentially get on Paradise, to get maybe a little bit of a bump if you can get a hot seat or something like that. So they're fucking with her money at that point. And she made it far enough in the show. She should have been
sixth
at the Women
place.
Tell All.
I mean, they often have the top 15.
So they're just fucking her over blatantly with regard to the Women Tell All. But the other piece of information in this clip is that we now know why they didn't invite her and why they Frankenbited her. She was diffusing the fucking problems the producers were creating. When the producers are making players pissed off, she'd be like, calm down. And she didn't say it here, but I think it's inferred that she probably told the players, like, yeah, the producers are trying to fuck with you.
Yeah, she didn't take her champagne. She diffused champagne gate is what she is neglecting to say here.
She tried to stop Champagne Gate, and that was her fatal error. That's why the producers turned her into a villain and kicked her off when they did, because she was throwing a wrench in their works.
I have an alternate theory, though. Do you remember what happened when she wasn't at the Women Tell All? it circulated all these rumors that she was actually the winner and that she was secretly pregnant and all this shit. Right. And I'm like, maybe this was all part of trying to like confuse the ending. I don't know. Maybe that's too six-dimensional chess.
Yeah, I think the producers were just like, fuck her, she's not coming. That is what it seems like to me from this. But this idea that she was a player. I mean, first of all, she wasn't a player. She didn't go through the normal casting process and all that. She met Pilot Pete before this fucking season.
Well, she was cast when she met him, right?
Exactly, yeah. And so they never viewed her as a legitimate player from the beginning. She was a prop to them. And then when she came in and she wasn't playing the game, not only was she not playing it, she was trying to fuck it up by helping other people play it.
She wasn't stressing during the 3-on-1. She was taking naps on the chaise.
Oh, God. She was so fucking good. It's just fascinating to hear this to me, that she was a player who I long suspected players did this when producers would do shady shit and they would just be like, yeah, the producers like blow it off. She's essentially saying she was that player.
That's interesting. I wonder if she's right. If this is the reason.
I think it has to be, because we've seen them punish players who don't play their game before. You remember what they did to Colton on BIP, where they just had that a short scene of several of the players who kissed him.
Tayshia,
even, yeah, saying he was a bad kisser. He wasn't even anywhere near that season, and they just have these players shitting all over him. The producers like to punish players. Like, that's it. Plain and simple. We've seen that a bunch of times, and I think Kelly here is essentially confirming it, that they tried to destroy her entire run in the season because she wouldn't play by their rules. And maybe they should have known that from the beginning with that group date. Rules don't mean shit to her. Are you ready for the next clip?
Ready.
Here we go.
Sorry, I never answered your thing about after the final rose. But to be honest, I don't necessarily know why I was there. But I was mic'd up, so I don't know if they had like a plan B,
right?
If something like
if Barb didn't give them what they wanted, like they were probably like, oh my god, look, this woman's going off. We don't even need Kelly.
So I was mic'd up, and they never spoke to me. So I was like, oh well, I don't know where that was supposed to go. If there's something else there,
and you and Peter weren't like talking at that time.
Mm-mm.
Interesting. She was mic'd up, but they never asked her a single question. I was wondering whether they had cut out some conversation with her.
We saw this just on Matt James's season. Heather Martin was also at the Women Tell All, and not only was she mic'd up, she was fucking sitting in a chair ready to roll, and they cut her out of the whole thing. Like, visually as well.
At least they showed the front of Kelly's face.
Yeah, exactly. At least we got to see her. But, I mean, this was fucking fascinating to me, too, that it's like, clearly they had something in mind for her. They had some segment that they were potentially going to use with her, or she wouldn't have been there. We obviously saw they can eliminate her from the Women Tell All as much as they want. They didn't invite her to that. So now she's at After the Final Rose with a mic, and they just never go to her.
You're making a whole thing of it. It's not like she's at the Women Tell All and they cut her, didn't use her footage or whatever. They're specifically inviting her there to a situation you wouldn't normally think the sixth place person would randomly be at.
I don't know if you remember this at all. During this time, because she wasn't at the Women Tell All, people were talking about, oh, the producers hate her, she's persona non grata, all that kind of stuff. And there was a rumor that came out at some point, I believe it was before this, or shit, maybe it was after, because maybe it was during the Bachelor's Greatest Seasons or whatever, but she said in some interview that they locked her in a closet. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, and then Dark Lord Harrison had to be like, we didn't lock you in a closet. Tell them we didn't lock you in a closet. And she's like, well, it wasn't a closet. But they basically would, when she wanted to see...
Oh, on the show she did. She was locked in a closet. Yes, I do remember that. I thought you meant at...
But I actually think that might have been after the final rose. Nonetheless, I believe her appearance there was meant to serve as kind of proof that the show and Kelly Flanagan are on good terms. And they just showed her for that. Like, look, she's here. We like her. She likes us. But they don't let her talk.
But they mic'd her up.
I think that was for show. I think that was to make her think she was going to get to talk. Exactly.
Oh my God. I think you're right. Probably was a fake mic.
I mean, can you imagine? I think at the time she's living in Chicago at that point. They're like, fly out to LA. We want you to come out. Here's your mic. All the shit. You have to, like, that's a weekend gone, a week gone, whatever, in preparation for this.
Get your hair, makeup, costume.
Getting super nervous, having anxiety about coming on the show. What the fuck is going to happen? And then nothing. You just sit there and shut up. Oh, God.
Not to meet
Mike
Moynes, though.
That is true. She'd get to sit next to a bachelor. But I just found that clip to be fascinating because you get a little bit of this behind the scenes about like the production techniques and what the producers do to people at these after the final roses where they just fucking discard you. Ready for the next clip?
Yep.
Was there like a bachelor Peter and like a real life Peter, you know?
I think that goes for everyone on the show, but yeah,
right,
definitely.
Because right. I think it was, yeah. After the season, it became very hard for people to not think of Peter, like, as how he was on the show.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, no, you, I mean, they're not going to go on the show and hey, like, all power to Peter and all that stuff, but, you know, they're going to represent a guy on the show that everyone wants and everyone's amazing. And right. Like you're talking about that in interviews. Oh, this guy's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then you come off and you're like, oh, some of your hobbies maybe don't align with mine. Like, you know, again, it's not a bad thing, but like he loves Pokemon cards and he loves like playing video games and he loves like going out and partying. And there was a while I was like, all right, trying to convince myself that that's
so
what I liked. And I was like, all right, Kelly, let's be honest with yourself. Like, is that, does that add up for you? And I was like, eh, probably not.
I included this clip specifically for you.
This is where she lost me. The way she says Pokemon is in a diminutive way. He likes Pokemon.
Yeah.
Pee-Pee and I both like Pokemon and party. Wow. What a thrill.
Is it a coincidence? This obviously had very little to do with gameplay. There's some mention in here of the kind of duplicity of all players when they go on the show, that there is a version of themselves that exists within the game that is not necessarily who they actually are. But we all know that. It's social media. It's parasocial media. It's everything we talk about on our show kind of constantly, but I just put this in here because I know that you like Pokemon and I thought you would enjoy this clip.
I do enjoy it. By the way,
fantastic.
We did know PP on the show as loving to party from his conversation with Jet and Jack, in which he was like, but PP, you love the club. PP was like, no, I could go with a religious rig winner.
That was the last clip from Kelly Flanagan on Chicks in the Office. We highly recommend you go listen to that entire episode because she goes into great detail about her relationship with PP and how it ended, what was good about it, etc., etc. And then, of course, PP issued his own rebuttal to that on his podcast with Dustin Kendrick, Bachelors in the City, this past week. It is a very interesting duo of podcasts to listen to. Highly recommend you go listen to both of those. Now, this next clip we are going to play comes from a podcast you might have heard of called Chatty Broads. We love the Broads, Jess Ambrose and Becca Martinez. And this week, they started talking about how the producers are cracking down on some of these players that are spilling tea. Jed Wyatt, for example, who tried to come out with his own podcast to clear the air about whether he did or did not cheat on his ex-girlfriend, on Hannah Brown, et cetera, et cetera, and the producers shut him down. They talk about Luke Parker from Hannah Brown's season, how he was sued by the producers for going on a podcast while he was still under contract, and they successfully sued him for $100,000 to make an example of him. And as they're having this conversation, Becca Martinez pulls up one of her contracts from our beloved game, and she reads a little bit of it. And what is revealed in this is stunning. It is shocking, and it is invaluable in terms of getting the bigger picture about what truly is Sleucian Protocol? What are they signing up for? Because here it is in black and white. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, and I think you probably do, because after Becca Martinez delivers this reading of some of her contract and we dissect it, we then go into six clips from the first episode of Jason Tardik's new podcast, Trading Secrets, in which he and Deanie Babies Ungler very openly discuss how much money they're making from every appearance in the show, their Spawn Con, and what their basic strategies are in terms of podcasts and turning their performances in-game into a lucrative social media post-game career. So please join us in the bottom of the pit. Not only are you going to get the rest of this episode, you're going to get every Patreon episode we've done, which at this point is quite a bit. I don't even know how many there are. We also do live shows every Monday night at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. And as a brand new season of Bachelorette is just about to start up next week, those 7:30 live video shows are going to be pregame shows where we talk about what we're expecting from the upcoming episode that night, what to look out for, what players and plays we are most looking forward to. So you can join us for that. And those videos are always available to watch, even if you can't make them live. They're still in the Patreon, so you can check them out. I'm always dropping songs in there. We got Creatures of the Weekend now popping up from time to time. So please head over to patreon.com/gameofroses and join us in the bottom of the pit.
It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you want to eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you want to eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.
Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered
Hell yes.
Why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well, unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Clues. Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason. Anything goes. You got pairs from three birthdays, Christmases ago, childhood, whatever. And, you know, when you open it, you don't know what to expect. It's chaos in there. And now that I have felt the buttery soft comfort of me undies, my other pairs have got to go. Trash. Because MeUndies is all I'm reaching for. I'm hooked and I feel off if I'm wearing anything else. You gotta wear your best pair. And I just got my best pair from MeUndies. The all-over lace thong in navy is gorgeous. It is so comfortable. It is so cool, I would say. I feel cooler when I'm wearing it. And so happy to have a new go-to pick from that chaos.
Well, I'm glad that you are able to organize your chaos as well, and so should everyone else. Mandy's has styles for everyone. You got all black classics. You got fun, expressive prints. There's a look for everyone out there. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody. And it's not just about underwear. You got all kinds of versatile loungewear. You can get comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, all kinds of stuff at MeUndies. Unmatched comfort that Pace Case was talking about. The signature fabric is soft and warm. It's like a hug from your favorite sweater. And it's breathable and stretchy. You can't beat that deal. Right now, get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies. Comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.